Bin David HaMelech, heard about the Misa of Yonason. Tzar li olecha, Yonason. Tzar li olecha, achi Yonason. Na'amta li ma'oid. Tzar li olecha, achi kam. Not just Tzar li, achi, achinu, our brother, a brother from the Chabura, Chabura that's been together for over 50 years, close to 60 years. Tzar li olecha, achinu. Not just achinu, but Rabbeinu. Our Rebbe, I learned so much from him. He was a Rebbe, like the Rosh Yeshiva said, to over 1,000 Talmidim who went through his shir, but he was a Rebbe to 1,000 more who learned from him, who learned from his Musa, from his Hashkofa, from his Hadrocha. There are Talmidim who are Talmidim because of the Shmuz, and there are Talmidim who are still Talmidim. Talmidim, a Talmud who calls him every week, over 50 years. Talmidim who themselves are Rebbeim, fathers, grandfathers, and they still call him for Eitzah to Miyayitz. But not just Rabbeinu, Tzali, Avinu, father to his children, grandfather to the Einiklach, Tzar lonu, alecho, achi kalman. The Gemara says at the end of Maseches Sota, Mishemesh Rebbe, Botla, Anova, and Chesed. So Rabbi Yosef says to the Tana, Lo sisni Anova, the Ika Anor. Rav Nachman says, "Oh, sisni chesed, the ikar anor." What are they saying? They're saying, "Anivus didn't end, and chesed didn't end, but the anivus of Rebbe, the chesed of Rebbe, that's finished, that's gone." Mishemes Reb Kalman is batlo hashpo. There'll be mashpiim, great mashpiim, mechanchim, but the hashpo from Kalman, that's not going to be. That hashpah doesn't exist. The hashpah of Harry's mashpi on Talmidim for all these years. The Rosh Yeshiva Zitzal, Rav Rudiman said at a simcha one time, the Kalman is the gresta mashpi in yeshiva. And he said yeshiva, he didn't just mean machina, the gresta mashpi in yeshiva. He was a mashpia. He was the metzias of Havashpah. Shefa. He overflowed. He had so much in him and it just flowed out. He couldn't hold back. He had so much to say. So many ideas. He would speak before Yom Tov to his shir. He would say a shir to them an hour on the sugya of Yom Tov. I'd give them a break in another hour. And then he'd come to me afterwards and say, I had so much more to say. And if we would have let him, he would have gone on and on. He had so much to give over. He was mashpia in three different ways. He was mashpia to the rabbim. He was mashpia to yechidim. And he was mashpia as a rebbe. He said a shmuz at the end of the year, the week before the end of the year. It was called the Chazor Shmuz. And he literally electrified the Olam. That's how Chazor week would start. And it was a marvel for all those who witnessed it. The Mechina the last week, the Olam was learning like it was the beginning of his man. A Rosh Yeshiva came from Eretz Yisrael, and I told him this is, tomorrow is the end of his man. He couldn't believe it. Where did that come from? That shmooze turned everybody on. They became mamish. they learned after hearing the shmooze, they sat down and they chazed day after day till the last day of the Zman Mamash. But it was more than that. It wasn't just that shmooze. He taught Maseches Brachos. And he was the founder, not the founder, but the one who continued, who brought to life the whole Bekiyas program. Maseches Brachos. It was him. He was the Masechta. And he brought the whole program alive. He created that whole Hashpah. All the years the Bochum learned in Chazed is in his chus. His enthusiasm, his excitement for the Masechta. Can you imagine? The 50th, 51st year he learned the Masechta with the same enthusiasm and excitement the first time. The same Masechta. And that was infectious, and the Talmud got turned on because of that. And they're still chazring, Maseches Brachos, many years later. There's so many Talmudim who call him and say, I'm still chazring Brachos. His Erev Rosh Hashanah Shmuz, it transformed Rosh Hashanah from a Yom Tov with Tekiyah Shofar into a Yom Hadin. But a Yom Hadin that was positive. He brought out to the Talmidim the milas of Rosh Hashanah. It wasn't depressing, it was an aliyah. And the Talmidim acted differently in Rosh Hashanah because of that shmooze. Every week, almost every week, he said a shmooze. He didn't just get up and say a shmooze, he put hours of preparation. He told me, I prepared this, I did that. He had to glean from his volumes of shmooze to cut it down to the Zman of saying a shmooze. He had so much to say. But he worked on how to give the shmooze. Should I say this thing first or that thing first? How can I say it the best way that the Bochum will be makabel it? Should I say this story or that story? Should I say it now or should I say it later? He worked on the shmooze every week. He was a mishpia on Yechidim. He worked with so many Bochum individually, and he learned what they needed, each one. This one he would learn Maseiros Yesharim, and that one from the Ali Shur, another Talmud from Rabbat Yisrael's farm, another Talmud from the Freelander. He understood what each Bachur needed. He was brilliant at sizing up Bachurim. He could touch up a Bachur. He knew what the Mahanech Nara Pidaka, he knew. So many times he would see a ninth grade Bracha, just watching him in the base measures, he would say to me, he should be in my Shia next year because I can work with him. He saw potential that perhaps others didn't see. And he was invariably right. And he was a Rebbe. He was a Rebbe par excellence. He was an unbelievable Rebbe. The shir was prepared. He would write out the whole shir. He would never read from that shir, but he would write it out to get it straight in his mind and deliver the shir. And he would deliver the shir with clarity and expression. It was never a monotone. It went from a silent, almost a whisper, to a screech, to a turn the olam on, and all the different tones in between. And so many Bochum wanted to go to his shir. But it wasn't just natural talent. He worked and worked on himself. He read every sefer there was to read about Hashkofer and Musa. One time a new sefer, I just thought I discovered a new sefer. I asked him, Kalman, did you see this sefer? He said, I bought it 3 weeks ago. And he read the whole thing. And he knew the whole thing. He started teaching first in 1969 as a Bacher. It's an indication of who he was. A Bacher, could you imagine? A Bacher is giving the shir. And then he stopped, and he started again in 1972. And he spent that summer, besides learning and reading all the Hashkofer on Chinuch, He wanted to understand the mindset of how children, how young adults, young adolescents work. And he read all the books and gleaned from them what was negeya to him, negeya to Hashpah. He read Chaim Gounod and John Holt and P.E.T. and all of them, so he could gather to understand the psychology of a child. He trained himself. He mamash trained himself to be the best mashpia possible. And he was. The greatest mashpia in the yeshiva. Machine will not be the same without him. But besides that, I lost my... I lost my best friend. So... Kehelas Yitzchak explains, when two people separate, kosh aleihem pridosom, it's hard. But he says, depending on the ahava between them, the separation is more difficult. The closer they are, the separation is so much harder. He says, if their friendship is such that they share together thoughts and inmost feelings and ideas and plans, Torah, Hashkofa, then the prayer is so much more difficult. We've come, we discussed everything together. We exchanged ideas, we exchanged books, Sforim, we shared the same values. We talked about everything together, from the mundane to whether it's better to buy two cheap suits or one good suit. We talked about whether what car, second hand, should you lease, should you buy. We talked everything together. We talked about food, fruit, where you get the best melon, how to tell if something is ripe. Those were the mundane things. And we talked about the lofty things. What to say in a shmooze, what not to say. How to help individual bacharim to recognize their milas and help them overcome their shortcomings. We divided the shiurim together year after year after year. He sat down and his insight into the bacharim, even the ones who weren't in his shiur, is what helped us make up the shiurim, as Reb Beryl mentioned. And even now, even this last summer, when I visited you in hospital, I asked your advice. And certain inyanim advised me shurim. And you had the eitzah, the seichel, the understanding to know and to give the right advice. Tzar li olecho, achi kalman. But na'amto, you are so sweet, so kind, always encouraging me, never ever critical, even though sometimes you had good cause to be, never said an unkind word to me. And you would get myriads of phone calls Erev Yom Tov. Every Erev Yom Tov, the phone would not stop ringing. And we would talk about it on Shabbos on Yom Tov. And you never told me the name of the bacharim who called you, because you didn't want me to feel bad that perhaps why he called you and didn't call me. Only after I said a name would he discuss it. Na'amto li ma'oid. You were so sweet to me. You always cared about my feelings. You always said nice things to me about my sons who were in your shir, became your talmidim. When I was sitting shiva, you didn't just come to Menachem Oval, you came every day to Menachem me. And when you suffered so much these last few months, you never ever complained. You never pitied yourself. You're always upbeat. You're always saying there'll be a breakthrough. It's good. You talked about everything. You never engrossed yourself in self-pity. You were mamish na amta, amta limioit. Kasha alai, pridaschem. It's hard to separate from your common. Your Rebbetzin and the children were so supportive. It was so difficult for your wife to be with you, and she didn't leave your side. Your children didn't leave your side. They were gave you all the chizik, as much chizik as they could give you. You never complained about your matzav. Kosho alai, pridaschem, amen. Leich b'sholom. Leich b'sholom.